This time of year, everyone talks about going dry. But at Athletic Brewing Company, we're skipping that because we prefer going athletic, which isn't dry at all. From crisp Goldens to hoppy IPAs and limited releases in between, you'll find something that fits your style. Every single non-alcoholic brew is packed with flavor and the same craft experience you love. So yeah, you could call it dry, but there's really nothing dry about it. Find your new favorite near beer at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all times.
All right, everybody, we are back. It's Inside Boxing Live. It's presented by PPV.com. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri. It's the best boxing podcast in the universe. Just got a Facebook memory, because that's what only Facebook is good for these days, is showing you what ridiculous statuses you posted 15 years ago that you can go and delete, or some memories. And Chris, 11 years ago on this day, we were hanging out in Madison Square Garden. I got a picture with a Chris Algieri who was getting ready to fight Manny Pacquiao. And I posted it on the old Facebook machine. And I was, wow, full circle moment, because 11 years later, we're doing a podcast number 408. Isn't that just beautiful?
Yeah, I still had a black eye in that photo.
You did.
It was like six, seven weeks after the Bruce Lan fight, getting ready to fight Manny Pacquiao in the Garden. And I was in the Garden last night calling fights for a Top Rank International.
Full circle, baby.
Full circle all the time. And now here we are doing a podcast together again. You had a really good hairline back then, dude. It was really.
What are you trying to say? It's not there anymore.
I'm just saying it was really strong.
Look at those young whippersnappers.
We both had very strong hairlines. You know,
nice pink blazer.
Thank you. I was being a little salmon.
Right.
Salmon.
Yeah, I remember they put you on the. You went from there, then you went onto the broadcast, and yep. Lampley was interviewing you. And I just remember sitting there with Nick and my dad. My brother's Nick, and I was like, look at this Long Island guy. This is amazing. This is cool. Like, this guy's cool. I'm going to be his friend. I'm doing a podcast with him.
On the map. This guy's cool. I'm going to do a podcast with him and take over.
10 years
and
later.
Take over the media sport.
Let's go. Yeah. All Facebook memories. Yeah, so it was a good weekend. We didn't have a show Friday. Chris was traveling. I was honestly a little shot from Vegas, and there wasn't much to talk about. So we kind of lumped it all into this episode. I knew that there'd be some good fights over the weekend. I knew there'd be a lot to talk about, and there was a lot going on in New York City. At the Garden, you were there calling the fights for Top Rank International, Christina Poncher. It was ESPN and Top Rank's final show of their deal. I think seven plus years around there of up and down fights. We'll get to that in a second. But Xander Zayas outpoints Jorge Garcia to become a champion, WBO champ at age 22. He's the youngest champion, male champion in boxing. He's younger than our guy Brian Norman. And I thought it was a good performance. I thought it was tough rounds, like 8-4, 9-3 type of fight, but like close rounds. Like none of like no dominant stuff from Zayas, moving around in there. Showed like he can do a lot of things good, maybe not one thing great. But, I mean, he's a champ now. He's 22 years old. He's in a really loaded division with a lot of really good fighters. So, like, he's got a target on his back now. It's been cool to watch, too, because this kid signed with Top Rank when he was, like, 16 or 17. I feel like we watched his entire professional career before our eyes, putting him on a lot of these ESPN shows. And kind of fitting that the last ESPN show was with a kid that started off fighting on the early prelims, then ESPN Plus, then, like, put him on big cards, became co-main event. Now he's main event. Now he's world champion. So he's someone that really benefited from the ESPN deal and really benefited from the top rank movement. So happy for Zayas, but now it's like, all right, good story. Let's see your unification bouts with some of these monsters at 154.
Yeah, talk about full circle moment for Xander Zayas. Like you said, signs at 16 with Top Rank, youngest signing ever. Cuts his teeth in New York. In the backyard of New Eureka, and the Puerto Ricans that come out. Listen, it was flush in there. I was in the room. It was a sellout crowd. People were loud. It was good. He put on, like you said, he put on a really good performance, boxed his way. And I said on the telecast, I said, I'm most impressed because Xander didn't try to be Tito Trinidad. He didn't try to be Miguel Cotto. He was Xander Zayas. He's a jabber. He's a mover. He's a boxer. He's a stylist. He's slick. you know, and he showed that against a really tough, gritty, sometimes awkward, hard-punching Mexican. And I think it was a really good performance from him. He stayed super disciplined, ran out of gas a little bit towards the end, you know, stopped throwing. He wasn't throwing as many punches. His feet looked good, but was more in kind of like survival mode and hold on and get to the end kind of thing, which I get. It's your first 12-rounder. You're 22 years old, fighting for a world title. But, you know, he did it. He had a tough guy in front of him. Full circle. Like, it was just like Top Rank had to just get it in right before the finish line. They had to get the title into Xander's hands right before they head out. And I think that's really important for Top Rank, because wherever they go next, they have a legit Puerto Rican world champion, and there's a market in New York and the East Coast for him no matter what. And if he's a world champion, as long as they can keep him world champion, you mentioned all those other studs in the weight class, you know, that's a token. And I've been arguing all week about this. And I said, as important as it is to have a Mexican star for the West Coast in boxing, I think it's equally as important to have a Puerto Rican star on the East Coast for boxing. For the United States health of the sport, I think it's really important to have both a Mexican star and a Puerto Rican star. And Xander is a budding star, so he might be that guy.
Yeah, really, really good points there. Definitely was loud in there, and it's funny because it's like, who's the next Puerto Rican star? We need that in New York. We need who's gonna supplant Tito, and it was Cotto. Who's gonna supplant Cotto? And we haven't really found that guy.
It was Berlanga, and then Berlanga dropped the ball.
Felix Verdejo, who ended up being just a heinous human.
I literally block him out of my mind, my memory.
Good, because he's a piece of shit, so man. We should. So obviously, like, they try, because, you know, it's an ethnic sport, and you need these certain demographics covered, especially in New York. Here comes Xander Zayas, and it's like, all right, he's young, but, like, you know, he's got the goods. He's very authentic from, you know, from San Juan. Obviously moved to Florida as a young kid, but still very much claims San Juan. His people claim him, which is super important. I didn't feel like Berlanga had the full support of Puerto Ricans. Zayas does. I mean, it was really loud in there. So, yeah, I agree. Like, this guy can sell tickets on the East Coast. Doesn't really have that Tito type of fighting style. Like you said, like, he's just being himself. Like, he's not trying to be something he's not. Like, Tito was unbelievable.
Well, Tito was an absolute destroyer. He was a Terminator.
I mean, once and in
Cotto,
a lifetime guy.
Cotto would batter you and just beat you down and break you and bust your ribs and break your nose and get you out of there. That's not Xander. Xander's a boxer. Yeah, but Xander fights a lot like I did. He throws a lot of punches. He's got a really good jab. He's got good defense. Doesn't get hit a lot.
That's what I mean. It's like constant movement. Like, when I watched you box, you were constantly moving in there. Mm-hmm. Like, you were – there was no period of time where you were just standing still or not throwing something. And that was Zayas in this fight. I mean, he was moving around. He was getting himself into really good positions to be able to land. His punch variance, I thought, was really, really impressive. And he was able to fight off a really tough Mexican guy who deserved it. And I like this from the WBO. Yep. It's like, this guy, Perez, upset Conwell. Next thing you know, he's in a title shot, a vacant title shot. And that's how it should be. It wasn't like who is this guy? Like, if you're a boxing fan, you follow the sport, you were like, okay, well, this is that Perez guy that just upset Conwell. All right, so let's put him in there in a title fight with Zayas. So I think that part
highly
was cool,
highly rated Conwell. Like, he's a guy that even boxing heads are like, I was like, Conwell's right there. Whenever we talked about 54, I was always like, Conwell's right there. And then Chino beats him, and it's like, all right, well, good. Then you get the spot.
It would have been cool to see Conwell must be kicking himself. It could have been Conwell versus Zayas in this matchup, which would have been
cool fight.
But Zayas gets the win. He's got Puerto Rico seemingly behind him despite how he fights. I think Puerto Rican fans are just very desperate for someone they can latch onto. Berlanga not giving them what they want. Serrano obviously is their champ, but she's towards the end of her career. So, yeah, he has that going for him. Yeah, I saw that.
Serrano was there last night. She was having a good time. She was dancing to the music, hanging out. She was there most of the night too. Like, and that's New York boxing. People who don't know the culture of boxing here in New York City, you get in there, like, okay, so say the main event's going to be at 10 p.m. You got people who are shuffling in at 7. They want to see the undercard. They show up. Serrano was there before 8 p.m. Like, she was watching the whole card. Like, that's New York boxing.
Well, the thing about Top Rank, too, that is, like, they've done a really good job of building up the young talent and, like, stacking the undercards. And, like, they might have issues in terms of turning guys into, like, stars. And we'll talk about that in a sec, a little bit, once we get into, like, the deal of ESPN and Top Rank coming to a close. But what they are damn good at is, you know, the building a star. and yeah. they can build that card up. And, you know, that's the beauty. What I'm going to miss is like watching ESPN Plus, like turning it on early. Yeah. Like I would turn it on early and watch Richard Torres. I'll turn it on early and watch Emiliano Vargas or Abdullah Mason when they were fighting on like the second fight of the night. You almost had to be tuned in if you were really locked into boxing. And I think that, you know, that's
what
you just
mentioned
that.
A couple of guys. Richard Torres was there. Abdullah Mason was there. Tiger Johnson, Deontay Johnson was there. Richardson Hitchens was there. He's not a top ranked fighter, but he's a New York guy. So he was there. Amanda Serrano was there. Her sister was there. Yeah, New York fighters came out last night.
New York's kind of a nice little run here. We haven't had fights for a while, but now we're getting the ring card. We had Taylor Serrano, and now we have this. There's not much on the schedule after this, which is kind of how boxing works. You know, it's a bunch of fights. We had three massive fights last weekend, and then really nothing until September. I mean, August is looking grim. So Zayas gets the win, and I thought he fought well. And now we look to what's next. It's always what's next. It's always who can he beat? How does he stack up against Fundora? How does he stack up against Bakram, Virgil Ortiz, Boots, all the guys at 154 lurking in the waters? And Fundora was supposed to be the guy that Zayas was going to fight originally. Fundora gives up the belt, goes on to fight Zou for a second time. Zayas fights for the vacant belt. Zayas has been very clear that he wants Fundora. Fundora is welcome and open to it. Puerto Rico versus Mexico, throw in the fact that Top Rank has a major issue now with they don't have a broadcaster, so will they be farming out their talent to other networks? Could it be a PBC type of card with Fundora versus Zayas in December? I mean, that's like the first one I can think of only because they were kind of close to making a deal already. Not like the fight I necessarily want to see next. I would rather see Fundora versus Virgil or Fundora versus Bakram, but you know, the business side of boxing will indicate that we could maybe see Zayas Fundora next, maybe Zayas with a optional defense as well. But in terms of like unifications, Fundora Zayas is pretty fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be easy to make. It sounds like it makes a lot of sense. I will tell you, don't hold your breath. I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon. I don't, especially this year. You know, like you said, there's a lot of other big fights that are out there. I think these unifications at 54 are going to take a long time. You're going to see a lot of guys.
They're not fighting each other.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's going to be grandstanding. They're going to be staying away from each other. They're not going to be fighting each other. It's unfortunate because it is one of the deepest divisions in the sport. But guess what? You know what the other deep division in the sport is? 135. And guess what? None of those champions fight each other. So that's what happens. We get the best divisions in the sport, and the guys don't fight each other. And they all keep their belts and their undefeated records. It's ridiculous. But I see the same pattern going with 154. So I wouldn't hold your breath for a Xander Zayas unification bout with Sebastian Fundora anytime soon.
So I'm looking at the ring rankings. I like their rankings. It's just an easy way to get a top 10. All rankings are flawed. All rankings have some type of motivation behind them. Like
bias.
Zayas isn't in their top 10, which is kind of crazy. Crawford is ranked number one, and he's not going to be fighting in the division yet, right? Not in the division, and he's not. There's no way in hell he's going back down to 154 if he fights Canelo. So just erase him out of there. Number two is Virgil Ortiz, who doesn't have a belt, but I agree is probably the best guy at 154 after he's beaten Boachuk and Madrumov, who are ranked third and sixth in this on the ring rankings. And then Fundora 5, Bakram 4. Those are the other title holders. Like Bakram's on an island on his own because he has zero profile and he's too dangerous. So he's radioactive in the boxing world. When you have zero profile and you're dangerous, you ain't getting fights, bro. So like, I don't know what's going on with him. Like Fundora is the X factor here. He's probably the most... He's been on the biggest amount of cards. Like everyone knows, he's coming off of those destructions of Zou. And then there's Fundora, who's ranked fifth in ring rankings, whose stock couldn't be any higher right now. But we could possibly see him go to Saudi Arabia. You know, Samson Lukowicz represents Fundora, and he has taken David Benavidez over there. So what's stopping him from taking Fundora over there? Like, so I don't know if we get a Zayas Fundora, but it makes me think. It's like, all right, so ESPN... Top Rank deal gone. There's no Top Rank doesn't have like it's not like a seeming like they have announced anything. Yeah, we haven't heard anything. It's they're being very close to the vest with it. But what we could see, like one thing I did hear is like they might go dark for a few months and not have any shows. but they still have a lot of fighters. And we've seen some top ranked fighters end up on other platforms. Like Oshaki Foster is the champion at 130, and he's supposed to be fighting Stephen Fulton, and it was going to be on a PBC on Prime card. And he's one of Top Rank's champs. So Top Rank was fine with putting him on an Amazon show. So like, I can see Zayas potentially fighting Fandora in a perfect world at the end of the year on an Amazon card. But I could also see Zayas being like, I'm 22. I literally just my first 12-round fight. Yeah, I got the belt. But like, am I going to go right for Fandora? Is his management going to do that? But then again, like Catch 22, you're a champ. Like, if you're a champion, like you're no longer a contender. You're a champion. So you should be unified. So he's in a weird spot, I think. I think he would take on all comers, but like we know how boxing works. We know how management works. We know how promoters work.
Well, look at Brian Newman Jr. Look at his trajectory. Became champ, super young, and had an opportunity to fight Jaron Ennis and unify. Bypassed it. And has going on to have really good, successful defenses and looking really, really good and building his platform. I think we're going to see the same thing with Zayas. I don't see them going right towards a unification. Listen, I would tip my hat to him. But if we learned anything from the cautionary tale that is Tim Tszyu, you got to be careful with the choices that you make and the fighters you fight in the progression that your career is moving. So I don't see Xander jumping in right into one of those big unification bouts with these super dangerous 54 pounders. Like you said, he's 22 years old, he's the youngest champion in the world, youngest champion in the sport for the males. So I'm gonna foresee some more building before we see him in a big, major, dangerous fight.
It's like Jaime Munguia too. Like he became a champ while he was like still developing. But I have people. It's like I tweeted. I want to see. All right, let's do Fandora versus Zayas. Let's get it at the end of the year. Then you have the people that are like, I'll see that. Then you have a couple fans saying Zayas ain't ready for that. He ain't ready for
Doesn't matter. You have a title.
That's
what I mean.
It doesn't
matter what you're ready for. As soon as you're a world champion, it doesn't fucking matter. You have to fight everybody.
But just like you said, he's in a weird spot because he might not be ready for a Fandora, like business-wise or career-wise, but he's a champion. So
yeah, I'm just being realistic. I'm not saying it's right.
Right.
If you're a world champion, you should have to fight everybody. But like, that's not the world we live in.
Like Fandora Bakram, which would be awesome because they're just two tall, like dangerous type of fighters. Like Virgil is the best.
A destroyer.
Who is he fighting? I hear rumors could potentially fighting Keith Thurman. Very loose rumor there. Which would be
I don't love that fight. That's the least enticing matchup I could see for Thurman. I actually like Thurman and Fandora. I like Thurman even Thurman and Tszyu at this point. I like that. I don't like Thurman and Virgil.
All right, Lubin is supposed to be fighting Bakram.
Yeah,
I think that's been like announced. So not announced, but like agreed upon.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it out there.
I think it's some type of.
He's been calling him out though. Lubin. Lubin's been calling out Bakram.
That guy's. He'll fight anybody. I mean, he has a couple setbacks, but like, I think he'll get in there with anyone. Then you have Madrimov, Boachuk, Boots. Totally forgot about Boots. He's just re-signed with Matchroom, and he's huge ticket seller. One of the biggest names in the sport. Multi-year deal. He will figure into this. So, yes, very loaded division, but also very divided. It's a divided division where we have singular champions all fighting on different platforms, you would think. Hate that. But Zayas is now in the mix, and not in the mix. He is the mix. He's a champ, and he'll have a target on his back now. There was some, you know, he's beatable, but he's young, and we'll see what he's got at 154. Anything else from Zayas that you liked?
I like everything about Zayas. I've always liked Zayas. I've watched him develop in South Florida, you know, as a young man in his teens. And I remember he used to call him the incredible growing boy because every time I saw him, he looked like he was in a different weight class.
Now he's got the crazy hair, mustache. He's very likable. I mean, he's very likable. He's a very nice guy from my interactions with him.
Super genuine, too. It's not like a show. Like, he's just a really nice person, a nice kid.
Yeah.
But also, what I like about him is I've seen his work ethic in the gym. The kid works so hard. And that goes a long way.
Yep. So also on this card, Bruce Carrington fights his first 12-rounder, shuts out Matias Haita, who is a tough African fighter. You know, these African fighters, they just are so tough. And Carrington just pieced him up. Heard some boos in the crowd, you know, because maybe it was on the heels of the Vargas knockout. And, you know, Carrington, this is what Carrington is. He's now 28 years old, which I know now for, like, I remember learning that he was 28 or 27, like, last year, being blown away by it because he hasn't been in a big fight, kind of carries himself like a 21, 22-year-old in terms of the hunger he has. And, you know, he didn't do anything, like, crazy inside of that ring, but it was very, very technical and, like, didn't lose a single second of the fight. But it wasn't, like, anything show-stopping, which he kind of needs at this point because he's very vocal about wanting to get the champs in there. Nick Ball, Espinosa was in the crowd. He finally, like, singled out Espinosa, which I really liked because in his last... You know, Carrington's post-fights are becoming more viral and more meaningful than his actual fights. Right, that's not good. His last fight, he cut an unbelievable promo that went viral, and he named all the guys he wants, but he didn't name Espinosa because apparently Espinosa just like doesn't want that fight. But this time he saw Espinosa in the crowd and just beelined it towards him. You would think if Top Rank had this deal going, you know, that's a fight they could make, you know, in-house, and Top Rank loves doing that. But now since they don't have that deal, it's kind of out in the open. And I don't know. I like the Carrington. I like him a lot. You know, he leaves a little bit to be desired inside of the ring, but you know, he's got a name and like he's on the tip of tongues of boxing fans. I just don't know how he stacks up against some of the guys at featherweight who are really good.
Yeah, I had a lot of people asking me, and I'm talking about like boxing insiders. They're like, what'd you think of Shushu's performance? I'm like, well, I think he could have shown more. So the big difference in the fight was, look, on paper, everything was even. 14-0, 9 KOs, 15-0, 9 KOs. They're both the same age. They're both the same size, both the same height, both the same reach. But the difference for me was hand speed and foot speed. Carrington was so much faster, and I just don't think he capitalized on that enough. I thought he really could have. Yes, he won every round, like you said. Maybe the 12th he could have given to Haita, but I don't know. Carrington looked good. He looked dominant. But like when you have that level of hand speed, I want to see more. I want to see you step on it, especially with when you're calling and speaking the way that you are, like Shushu is. But in terms of that division, it's just a really tough division. It's like 54. Like 126 is awesome. You got really, really tough guys in there. 126, the Fundora version of 126 is Espinosa. You know, guy's like 6 feet tall and huge for 126 pounds. He's also a puncher, fights on the inside. I don't know if Shushu is ready for him. I know he's calling him out literally right in the middle of the ring. That's a tough fight. That's a really tough fight.
If he's not ready, like he's 28. I know what you're saying, though.
He might never be ready for an Espinosa. That is my point.
It's now. It's like now. It's like sugar get off the pot. Like you got Espinosa number one, I think. Angelo Leo, Nick Ball.
Yeah.
Stephen Fulton.
That's like 2-3. I can't tell you which one's which, but yeah.
Stephen Fulton. Oshaki Foster is not fighting in this division.
No, Oshaki Foster is at 30. It seems like Stephen Fulton is at 30.
Yeah. I got that Oshaki backwards.
So they're both out.
Yeah, Fulton's out of the picture. Carrington should be able to slide right in there. Luis Alberto
Brandon
Lopez.
Figueroa didn't look great last week.
I'm kind of just done with Figueroa.
I kind of checked out on him.
I don't know. I just don't see it in the hunger. Or I just don't see it in him anymore. I mean, I thought he lost. Like
I did too. 100% thought
he lost. I mean, it was very clear. Like it wasn't even like that. Robesi Ramirez lingering, but, you know.
Joel Gonzalez is a nice step for – I know Shushu wants like – you know, the tip top guys, but I don't think he deserves to be to fight right into a world title fight. I off this performance, any of his performances, he doesn't have any names on his record. He's been beating journeymen. He's been beating like gatekeepers.
What?
He hasn't beat a contender yet. You know, they dug this guy up from Africa. He's got a good record, but like, he's not anybody. So
that's the one knock I have with Top Rank. Sometimes it's like,
you can't come off a win like this against a complete unknown entity and then jump right into a world title fight, especially in a deep division like this where there's contenders that deserve the shot. But like I said, like a Joel Gonzalez is a next logical step for him.
Yeah, that'd be good. But like when you have, like I said, these viral moments where you're listing all the champs, you're calling out champs, you are 28 years old, you're a ring ambassador. you know, Ring Magazine must have
tweeted. That's all well and good, but that's why Espinoza goes like, no, I'm good. And just like literally just rubs his shoulder like, no, who are you? I don't know, you know, like, and Shushu had a moment in the fighter meetings and he goes, and it was a good moment. It made sense. He goes, who was Espinoza before the Robesi fight? He was nobody. He got his shot. Look where he is now. I need my shot. And I was like, that's a good argument. That's a very good argument.
He's very hungry. And I like it. And this is what we want. We ask our fighters to like ask for the best and want to fight the best. This guy, which any microphone he gets in front of, he's like, I want my title shot. I want Nick Ball. I want Angelo Leo. And like, you know, he'll get it. It's just like, is he deserving? We don't know. Is he ready? We'll see. But like, once again, 28 years old, like now you have to do it now. You have to soon, next like year, calendar year, like fight a Joette Gonzalez type. And then hopefully see where everything, you know, lies there at 126. Emiliano Vargas kind of stole the show. 42-second knockout of Alexander Espinoza. This kid is flashy. He's got everything. Very marketable. He's got the name. He's got his dad. He's got the looks. He's got power, charisma. Kid's got it. I just don't know how far he can go, but he's got hand speed, which you can't teach. He's just got a lot going for him, and it's going to be one hell of a ride. Just like it's a different ride than his dad was on, because that was like a meteor that crashed out.
His dad was already knocking out like former world champions. Like his dad was already like, we talked about that in the fighter meeting. He was already,
and then he was gone.
He was fighting Yori Boy Campus at this point, like, which is crazy. Like he was 14-0 and knocking out Yori Boy Campus. Like,
and then was 23, 24 done, but had crazy shot by fights.
25. Yeah.
Unreal. I think, you know, I did the fighter life thing for Top Rank. Did an episode on Vargas, so I really studied him and like got to, you know, watch some clips of him and his dad and stuff. It's like they're learning from the dad, all the Vargas brothers. Obviously Emiliano is the best of all the bunch. Like they're learning from that, because, you know, Fernando will tell you himself, like he has CTE, like he will tell you, like he's slowing down like mentally, and the sons have seen that and they don't want that for themselves. The dad doesn't want that for them. Like they don't fight the same. They're just gonna do their career different. But you know, I think he's like 14-0 now.
He spoke Fernando in the fighter meeting, and he speaks a lot in the fighter meetings because he's Fernando. He's Fernando Vargas. He's like, he's every fighter's favorite fighter. So like,
yeah, he was awesome.
He's so awesome, and like he's a totally different animal. But when he's in there, you know, he's telling, he's like, listen, he's like, he said, he goes, if I wasn't drinking, he was like, I would be one of the best, greatest fighters of all time. He's like, I was drinking throughout my entire career. And he's like, the weight was an issue. He's like, I never blamed the drinking, but I realized that it was the alcohol. Like I couldn't make weight. I was gaining 40 pounds between fights and not thinking, and just drinking the whole time, not thinking it was the booze. When now I look back, like, oh shit, it was the booze. But also that's not going to help with the CTE and the brain damage as well. You know, you're drowning your brain in poison, and then it's getting hit and doesn't have the opportunity to recover. The boys all spoke about that. Emiliano was saying, he's never touched the stuff. He's never going to drink. He's like, it makes no sense for me. I learned from my dad. I watched the punches he took. We're not doing that. It was cool. It was very cool to have them in there and to see the relationship they have. Yeah, Emiliano Vargas, man. He's on the telecast. Poncho's like, oh man, if you want to buy stock in somebody, you buy. I'm like, it's too late. Is way too high at this point. You can't buy stock in him now. The cat's out of the bag. The kid's a goddamn star.
Yeah, stock is you could buy the stock. You're not getting like a deal on it because he's same thing with Abdullah Mason. I was tweeting that out.
It would be like buying Bitcoin now. You could. It's gonna go up, but it's not a great time to buy it.
Yeah, he's just really good. And once again, the one knock on Top Rank in this deal with ESPN, it's like a lot of showcase fights, but you know, he's 21 and he's got under 15 fights. But this was supposed to be a step up. This was a guy that was like a veteran.
The last two fights supposed to be step ups. He knocked them both out in the first round.
Right. Like to the layman or to like the casual or even like a boxing fan that follows the sport and they see a 42-second knockout. And, you know, it didn't look like a powerful shot, but those are the types of shots that when you don't see, or like top of the head shot, like this guy went down and just couldn't get up. Just didn't have his balance. Just, it was just out of sorts.
He had to get walked out of the ring, Dan. They had to walk him to the back. Yeah.
Yeah. I had some idiots staged, rigged. What the hell?
Oh,
what,
boy. Yeah.
God, I hate Twitter. Like, I used to love Twitter. I'm getting the weirdest replies lately. A lot of like race baiting. Mm. Like a lot of like, oh yeah, of course you like Usyk. He's the white savior, white boy. I had someone call last night. I got called a racist towards Mexicans and a racist towards blacks within like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
which is like hard to do. Like pick, like what am I?
I mean, dude, if you're a white supremacist, you're a white supremacist. You don't like anybody.
You don't like
any of those brown people.
Unbelievable. The amount. It's not everyone either, and I need to stop highlighting the idiots, because I kind of realized over the last couple of weeks I'm only responding to idiots. And when I look at the people that reply in with dumb comments, they usually, I would say 95% of the time, they don't follow me, which is great, because I don't want those people to follow me, because we do have an unbelievable following, and for the most part my Twitter interactions are fun, but there are some people out there that ruin it or like highlight the worst aspects of the sport, and that's the people that scream rigged, it's people that scream dive. That's the people that think every opinion you have in the sport has some racial motivations behind it. Never once did I ever have a racial motivation behind any opinion I've ever had. But back to Vargas, what a knockout. It's just like, okay, now you've gotten the attention of boxing fans. And I thought too, like, way to use this ESPN platform. One last time, like you were the first fight of it. Your first fight.
Take a little more juice out of that.
He squeezed it dry, and he went on the first fight of the night on ESPN, which usually gets like the highest viewership because people are watching something before it or they stumble into it. Oh, who is this guy? Oh, it's Vargas's son. That's pretty cool. Bam! 42 seconds. Cuts a really great promo in the ring afterwards. Stole the show. Just awesome. Like that's what ESPN was. This is what this deal was made for. Was to elevate guys like this. Okay, but now we got to really see how good he is in the next step up type of fight. Get into the top 15, just like Abdullah Mason. They're on a crash course. I saw Abdullah was there too. I mean, there's a reason why Top Rank, when we did the Fight Life episode, go check it out. It's on ESPN Plus. Like they lumped the two of them together because that's what boxing does. Is they, you know, they'll pit these two guys against each other until they eventually fight, or they just like chase each other around their entire careers. Mason's ahead of Vargas.
They are not fighting. I'm telling you that right
now. Not anytime soon. That would be the worst business ever. Like, that's like, it might happen in like 5 years, but.
Yeah. They're both going to be multiple time world champions before they fight each other.
What do you think of Vargas for real? Like, what do you see? Like, I see the hand speed, I see the skills, like, but it's hard to really assess him because I honestly think his name, I think it's helped him, but I also think it kind of hurts him in a way. Because they kind of grade him like, oh, it's just a Vargas. Like, he's just a name. He's a gimmick. He's not. He's really good. But, like, where do you see him? Like, his talent and his skill, where could he go?
He might have a ceiling. And it might be relatively soon. We're not sure. Listen, everything we're seeing from him is great. And I'm telling you right now, he's a budding superstar because of all the other things, all the other accolades. I haven't seen enough in the ring. I love what I see from him so far. But I haven't seen him. Even with a real proper durable guy that we've actually seen before on our air, like we're talking about Shushu, like he was fighting guys like Enrique Vivas, and we're like, oh, Vivas, I've seen him in some fights. He's, you know, he's a tough guy, and then he blasts him out. It's like, oh, okay, well, that gives me some thought. I haven't seen that from any of the fights that Vargas has fought yet. It's too soon to make a distinction about what he can do or where he can go. Because I really haven't seen him tested in the ring yet. I mean, he keeps passing everything with flying colors, but I do think they need to step him up a little more. But I will say this, Dan. So the timing of placing him in this card, Top Rank is so smart. In terms of their matchmaking, sure, but also the way they build the card. You had Rohan Polanco fight first, but he was fighting a spoiler. And we all knew that going in. It's like, this guy's good. You know, he might upset the apple cart. Maybe he didn't. He didn't win a single round. He didn't even try to win. So he made a bit of a stinker. Then you put on Emiliano. And Emiliano is like, all right, I think we're going to get our knockout. Because you're looking in the main events, you're like, I don't think we're going to get knockouts in the co-main or the main. But Emiliano, he can get a knockout. Boom, does it in the first round. Room explodes. Absolutely explodes. People are out of their seat. from the press row and like walking up to the ring, taking photos, taking videos. So really well-placed timing for the Emiliano Vargas fight because it was kind of getting slow. You had a stinker in the first fight. And then it was in between that and the Shushu fight, which really wasn't that entertaining either. And then you had the main event. The main event was good. So it was a really well-paced card. Once again, Top Rank doing their thing the right way.
Yeah, that was huge. I actually think it like hurt Carrington because the fans are in a lather when you see a first round. It electrifies the crowd. I could feel it at home watching. Electrified the crowd. And then you have a 12-round fight where Carrington dominated, but the fans want their red meat. They want a knockout. And I think Carrington could have got the knockout. But yeah, Vargas is going to like put him in there with another really durable guy that's never been stopped. Like, just do the Mason like route. Like, put him in there with guys that have either never been stopped or guys that have challenged for world titles.
Right.
Or, you know, just keep... They know
guys we've seen before. Guys right. We've seen. Guys who have a recognizable name. Guys like, oh, I remember him having a tough fight with so-and-so. You know, because we haven't seen that yet. When you get these guys, someone, like, who is this guy?
Someone threw out Oscar Duarte, which I think is a step too far right now.
No. Oscar Duarte is a top contender at 140. Top contender. Yeah. Way too far.
He's at 140 now, Vargas, right?
Yes.
What's his,
that worries me too. I don't think he's big enough for that weight class.
Yeah, and his name, like someone afterwards brought up Teofimo. Like, I mean, we're jumping like levels here, but like I said, his name is going to elevate him, and his status and his marketability is. They're going to try to rush him. Or expectations. I don't think Top Rank will, but in today's boxing. Current boxing environment, you know, the ring, he could be the next ring ambassador. And then all of a sudden Turkey's like, I want Emiliano Vargas to fight Abdullah Mason and then throw them 15 million in the pot. All of a sudden they're fighting each other. So like every conventional wisdom in boxing is kind of thrown out the window. Yeah. He's not going to fight anyone in the top 10 anytime soon. Find like a top 20-ish. Find a guy that's never been stopped. Find a rugged part, like, you know, and build that up. Do what you did with Abdullah Mason. Top Rank's very good at that. This was the final show of the Top Rank on ESPN deal that started in 2018. Could have been 2017, 2018-ish around that time. I would say a very up and down type of deal. Like, there were some really good fights on regular ESPN. There were a lot of showcases. The good was we got like a Teofimo Loma on regular ESPN. We got a bunch of in-away fights, a lot of Lomachenko, a lot of Teofimo, a lot of Shakur, some Crawford, but never really got that really big pay-per-view, which you need to cash in on every once in a while. I would say like a B+, C- overall. It's really hard. I mean, they had $90 million budget, and that's a lot of money, and I just think there were a lot of good fights early on, and then like the roster kind of thinned out, and they just really only made in-house fights. But end of an era, Top Rank in ESPN, no longer, Chris. That could potentially be the final televised fight ever. And boxing has been on television since the 40s.
This was going to happen things eventually.
Change. Things change.
This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is the last bastion. This is the island holding out for TV. It was somber last night. A lot of the crew and like people who have been DMing me about this. I'm like, I don't know, man. I think it's just a transition phase. I don't think it's going to make that much difference. Top Rank will find a home. It'll land on its feet. It's a company that's been around forever. They've got they have a stable of fighters that need fights. So this is not the end of Top Rank. Might be the end of this deal. It's not the end of boxing, but TV is just—it's just gone, man. TV's for the dinosaurs. We're not watching fights on TV anymore. We're watching fights on streaming networks. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It sucks. But guess what? It sucked when HBO went away. It sucked when Showtime went away. It's just another chapter in the annals of boxing. We're moving forward. It is what it is. But it was cool. I got to be in the last show. It's cool that the last show was in the Garden. It was a good turnout, some decent fights. So, I mean, there's that, but I don't think this is that big of a deal.
It's not like this isn't HBO closing up shop because that was 40 years of some of the greatest fights ever. a lot more history than this. It's not Showtime closing up because they had a lot of history as well. It's definitely an end of an era. It's definitely like has a lot of significance. It has a lot of symbolism because, yes, we're now moved into a totally streaming world for boxing. Like, I agree, like network TV is kind of going away, but like the biggest sports are still on, you know, the major networks, like football,
but boxing's
basketball.
A niche sport. I know. Right. I know we say that and we're like, you got to say that. You got to say it out loud. I don't think people understand that enough. It is a niche sport. This is not MLB. This is not NFL. This is not soccer. This
it's
is
just
boxing.
Crazy how fast it happened. Like 2016, Keith Thurman was fighting Sean Porter on CBS. Mm. Like that wasn't that long ago. And then.
Yeah, but boxing's good at shooting yourself in the foot.
What's
very
what I mean? Like, that's what.
Very good at shooting yourself in the foot.
Right. And then we still had ESPN. And a listener brought this up to us. Brought it to my attention. I thought it was such a great point. I wish I could figure out who it was. But boxing, like being on ESPN, allowed it to have some life in terms of you're at a bar and there's a game on and the next comes on boxing and you end up watching it and it's a great fight and you want to watch it more. Or you're flipping through the channels and there's a crazy fight on and there's so much energy, you stop and you watch it for 10 minutes. Maybe you become a fan. Maybe you stick with it. That's kind of gone now. Like there is no flipping through the channels on DAZN. Like you have DAZN because you're a hardcore boxing fan and you turn it on for that reason. And that can be said for a lot of different things because with network TV kind of dwindling. But that part sucks. Like the fact that boxing isn't on linear television for the time being, it could come back.
Like counterpoint to that. Go ahead. Counterpoint. You been in any bars lately?
I'm not a big, not a huge bar guy, but yeah, Friday night.
Where are most people in bars? What are they doing? They're right here. They're looking into their phone and they're scrolling and they're scrolling and oh wow, look at this fight! I'm seeing a fight. I want to see more of that fight. Oh, where do I can find that fight? We're in a different world, man. So it's really easy to say those things and like I'm listening. I'm like, you know, that guy made a good point, but I'm also like, the world has changed. You didn't have access to everything in your phone all the time.
True.
Now it's social media, dude. You scroll and you see a great knockout. You're like, whoa, where was that? I want to see that. Or you watch a great clip of a fight. You see the very best of a fight on a short clip because we live in a TikTok world where everything's really tight, really short. And then you become a boxing fan. It's just different ways. I mean, yeah, the antiquated ways are gone. The other ways are gone, but there's new ways now. So it's a changing world.
Not only that, it's like how many times have you been out and you're watching a fight on your phone and it's like crystal clear stream because you have DAZN, you have ESPN
Plus. Pretty much the only way I watch fights when I'm out.
It's absolutely incredible. Like boxing fans are hilarious because we will complain about literally everything. But I remember like watching a prelim like in an Uber on my phone and it's clear as day. Like that was not the case 10 years ago. Like I just brought up that 2016, you know, 2016, we weren't getting access to prelim fights and we weren't getting them on our phone. Like, yeah, maybe you can get a weird ass stream that will just like corrupt your phone or corrupt your computer and then you're screwed. But now we have more access to fights than we ever had. It's just now shrinking. Like the audience is shrinking, but also like, I don't think like it would have grown. Like, I don't think if boxing was on CBS, like every weekend, oh, maybe but that's kind of an extreme. Like every once in a while, I still don't think it would make it surpass even hockey or golf. Like, no. Hockey and golf are way more popular than boxing. It's just a niche sport, but it's still a big industry. I will say that. But when this happens, you just kind of – it's like almost like a gut punch. It's like a sobering moment. It's like a reminder. It's like, oh, man, like another one. Because someone posted all the networks that have now left boxing. And it was pretty much every single one. So it's just a little sobering. It's a little like reality call. But –
part of the reason is, I say this all the time, boxing is the best sport in the world, worst business. And bad business doesn't equate to, you know, continuing a relationship. When you got networks that are all business and they stand on business and they do things by contracts, they do things by... Boxing's dirty, dude. I've been in these meetings. Boxing is dirty. Things get done in weird ways. People piss each other off. You can't do that with network television. You can't do that with major companies. And that's why they don't continue the relationship. You can't screw people and expect to come back. In boxing, we screw each other all the time. The promoters, the fighters, they screw each other all the time.
And then they laugh to their face.
And then they're like, oh, they shrug their shoulders and go, all right, see you next week. You
know, it's accepted,
You can't do that in other businesses. And that's why boxing is getting kicked out of everything.
I will say, though, like MLB and ESPN, like ESPN, they severed ties, but they might come back. Like I could see, I don't think ESPN's done with boxing. I think they're done with this deal. I think they just didn't, they got to the end of this deal. They both sides were unsatisfied with each other. I think ESPN did a very poor job of programming boxing the right way. It was buried at 10 p.m., sometimes after UFC, sometimes after like a softball game and like delayed. And weren't getting the best time slots, weren't getting the best promotion. UFC was getting way more of a push. Obviously, it's just a bigger sport. And I think Top Rank could have done a little bit of a better job in terms of, you know, placing their fighters in better fights. Like someone like Xander Zayas or Bruce Carrington, like I couldn't name any of their opponents. Like they weren't in meaningful fights leading up to these moments. Like we knew about them as singular people. Like how many times did we see a Top Rank poster for a fight night on ESPN and it was just the A-sides? It was just them. It was no B-side. Yeah. It was like, who was he fighting? Just turned into like, it's the main thing I would take away from this was just too many showcases, too many in-house fights. They could have had a chance to make big events, you know, go across the aisle. Like, why did they wait until potentially like last year to make Tank and Lomachenko? They did sign Haney, which I thought was very shrewd on their part to get the Kambosos deal. And that turned into a Lomachenko fight on pay-per-view. Like, I'm happy that a lot of the fights were on regular ESPN, but I think ESPN wanted more from like an occasional pay-per-view that actually did business. Like, I don't think Crawford pay-per-views did well. I don't think any of the Haney one, Lomachenko ones did well when they did dabble in pay-per-views. The, what was it? The Fury Wilder 2 was an ESPN pay-per-view, and that kind of flopped in terms of how much money they put into it. They had like a Super Bowl ad. And they put that promotion was huge. And I think it did like 600 or 700,000 buys, which is like obviously good now. They lost money.
Yeah. The overhead on that, because you got to pay those guys both so much. And then also that marketing push didn't pay out. Oof. That's rough.
So ultimately, I think it was good. It was like the post HBO world. Remember, Top Rank left HBO, and I was like, "Oh my god!" Like Top Rank left HBO, and they're going to ESPN. This is cool. It's on SportsCenter. Lomachenko, I think, benefited probably the most from this deal because he went from the darling of HBO to now the darling of ESPN. And we were like the beginning 2 or 3 years of the ESPN on Top Rank deal was awesome. Where we, like a lot of those, like Shakur was fighting in big fights, Lomachenko, Teofimo's entire rise was practically on regular ESPN. He has ESPN to thank, those Heisman nights. I put together a little list of, it's hard to do because like it's not a big pool to choose from. My favorite Top Rank ESPN fights, Teofimo Loma, that was huge. That felt
I was in the room for that, by the way.
But remember the buildup? That was like the bubble. It was the biggest bubble fight besides Tank and Santa Cruz, because that's just Tank. And they had ESPN's entire push behind it. ESPN put a lot into that. Like they had
it was regular, a good fight, too.
Really good fight. And obviously, Lomachenko, you know, started slow. Teofimo came on late. It was like a symbolic passing of the torch type of fight.
Yep.
That was huge. I think ESPN, that was like you saw the full strength of if ESPN really got behind boxing. And they benefited from having two, like, names. They had Lomachenko and they had Teofimo, who was, this is before his antics.
And they benefited like, from a starving fan base who was in the bubble and in the pandemic and like, I need something to do.
Their whole bubble run I have on this list, just the bubble in general was...
The bubble was awesome.
Huge.
I worked the entire bubble. Like I was one of the people who got to work in this industry the entire time the pandemic was going.
I didn't know that. Wow. Yeah, that was massive for like mental health. Like... I needed that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were doing two shows a week. So I was
there
living in California.
There weren't great fights, but they were still fun.
Didn't matter. You had something to watch. It was nothing on.
Clay
nothing
Collard.
To do.
Remember Clay
Collard?
Clay
Collard became a star in the bubble.
Knocking fools out. Beating like that was awesome.
He got exposed real quick after that.
Oh, yeah.
right after
his
that.
His bubble burst when the,
yes.
And the, when the when the bubble burst itself. But that was huge. In a way. All his fights were practically on ESPN or ESPN Plus. Cardenas being
the Maloney fight when he starched him. Oh, the Fulton, forget it.
I mean, that was like a pay-per-view-esque fight now when that was on ESPN Plus. I think that was a very underrated aspect of this whole deal was the ESPN Plus side of it.
Those Inoue morning fights were awesome. Like those are so much fun.
Right, and it didn't cost as much as some of the other streaming services. Loma Linares at the Garden.
Good fight.
Lit that night. Loma's whole run, he probably fought on ESPN the most of any guy. I don't know. That's a fact. Ramirez Taylor was a undisputed fight.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was on regular ESPN.
Yeah. Yep.
Shakur Valdez. Zepeda Baranchik was the 2020 fight of the year. Ring Magazine fight of the year. One of the craziest fights you'll ever see.
Both that was on regular ESPN. After that fight.
No, neither of them. Oh, Zepeda just recently retired. Baranchik, man, I liked him, man. But that fight just took years off his life.
Zepeda did retire, though?
I don't know. I think he didn't. He's fought this year. I don't think he's retired.
Dalton Smith knocked him out.
Yeah, I think he should retire, but I think he's. Yeah. Baranchik, we haven't heard from him at all. I know he tried and to come back, but that fight was it. That was their night. But that was on regular speed. That's probably the best fight, not the best technical, but that was just rocky. And that was on regular ESPN. That was awesome. Crawford fought a bunch of times on ESPN. Mean Machine. Amir Khan was a pay-per-view. That was a flop. The Ndongo fight. Crawford's rise happened on ESPN. Or half HBO, half ESPN. Haney Cambosos was on regular ESPN. That's huge. Like, we're not going to get that anymore. Undisputed fights or unifications on regular ESPN. That's the cool part of this deal. So they had their highs and they had their lows, just like any other deal in boxing, because you're dealing with so many variables. That's why a lot of these networks get out of boxing, because NFL, you have the schedule, comes out, you know what you're getting as a network. You don't, ESPN, you don't know what you're getting with boxing. You don't know what is coming down the pike. You don't know any matchups. You're blind. You could have great fights. You can have shitty fights. It's programming.
No fights. You can have no fights. You can have.
But it's programming, and that's something that I think is valuable about boxing. It's relatively cheap programming. I don't think ESPN is done. I could see Top Rank coming back for a smaller deal. I could see maybe PBC sliding in with ESPN. I could see TKO. And Zuffa, they already have a relationship with the UFC and ESPN. ESPN likes to put on, they have every sport. So I could see them kind of sticking around. I don't know.
They can't get rid of boxing. It'll come back in a way. I don't know what this kind of shimmying is around, but it'll come back.
And definitely have to mention, it goes well beyond just ESPN Top Rank. ESPN Friday Night Fights was a staple of every boxing fan's lives.
That's how I grew up.
That's what I mean. Obviously, it's a different world. We grew up without streaming, without smartphones. So Friday night, you knew you were getting a smorgasbord of fights. Good fights, bad fights,
fun fights. In high school,
my
friends came over every Friday night. Every Friday night, my friends came over in high school.
Awesome, man. It was so cool. Young Max Kellerman. It was cool. Kellerman, Brian Kenny, Grisham.
Brian Kenny,
bro, was the guy.
Like, he was awesome. Yeah.
And they would bring on Floyd Mayweather would come on and do interviews. Every big name would come on because it's ESPN, and they would do their promote their fights. Brian Kenny had that amazing back and forth with Mayweather. Mm-hmm. I think did Lou no, that was different. That was SportsCenter. I mean, Lou went head to head with Rogan and got his ass handed to him.
That was SportsCenter?
I think that was SportsCenter, yeah. But yeah, Friday Night Fights, man. Epic fights. Epic, just cool. That's gone. That whole era is gone because it weren't big fights. They were pretty much glorified club shows. That whole aspect of boxing.
They were sub championship level fights. And
they were super important.
When they left, it created a vacuum. Pro Box TV has stepped into that vacuum. They're doing a good job with these sub championship fights. We just need better distribution, but those fights are killer.
You fought Friday Night Fights?
I did. I fought ESPN main event against Emmanuel Taylor. He was number 3 in the world.
That's
first
awesome.
First person to bring ESPN to Huntington Village.
That's a fucking amazing, bro. Mm-hmm. That's
dude, I hit all the markers. I hit ESPN Friday Night Fights main event, HBO Boxing main event, HBO Pay Per View main event. Didn't hit Showbox. Fought on show. Oh, what did I fight? Not on Showbox because I was already past that point. I fought on
Versus?
One of the show. I fought on one of the Showtime things. I fought on Spike. I fought on Triller.
Spike doesn't even exist anymore. That channel's gone.
No, no, yeah.
Triller.
Triller.
Good God, Triller.
Fought on DAZN. Zone. I fought on all of them.
No more. Okay, no fights.
No, I'm good.
All right, thank you for that. Yeah, so ESPN gone. Shout out to Al Bernstein too. Like even before Friday Night Fights. He was the main ESPN guy. He has to be feeling very sentimental. One of the nicest guys in the sport. Yeah, like when ESPN first hit the airwaves in the 70s, they had boxing on. Like Mike Tyson fought on ESPN on his rise. Yeah, it's a big history between ESPN and boxing. And the latest version, latest iteration was Top Rank. And yeah, that's why I was feeling a little sentimental because it goes back way further than Top Rank. And Top Rank had a deal with ESPN all those years too, but not as exclusive as this past one. But end of an era.
You got a tissue box handy over there, Dan? You look a little perturbed over there.
Not really. But you know, I like this
fluster.
History stuff.
A little verklempt.
Not really. Not as much as I thought I would. Like, I not as much as, like, HBO shut down. I legitimately cried.
Everybody last night at the – it was a bummer.
Honestly, we
were taking photos at the desk, and I was like, I'm out of here. This is bumming me out.
Well, it's different when you're in the crew. Like, that's their job, like, livelihoods. Like,
yeah,
we're talking about it like we're not depending on it, but, like – I feel bad for the crew, like, and the people, like, really behind the scenes that, you know, depend on this type of thing. Yeah, I am a little sentimental, but not as – I would rank it – if I could power rank my sadness in terms of networks leaving, HBO number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, ruined me because I just grew up with it. Showtime 2, ESPN 3. So everything has to be ranked. That's it, my friends. I had some other news and notes, but we'll get to it later on in the week. You know, Pacquiao, Rolly might be firing Ryan Garcia December. Something I wanted to touch on. We'll talk about that later. Riyadh announces that they're not interested in Usyk Parker. It's interesting that companies are now coming out and saying what they're not interested in rather than fights that they are looking to make.
You know, for the guys who actually deserve the fight, but who cares about that? You know, Joseph Parker deserves the fight more than anybody, but who cares?
I think it's time to drum up a voicemail episode. I think that will be our next episode where we can touch on some of the news, touch on your thoughts on ESPN, touch on your thoughts on everything.
And some of those guys who are calling you a racist can call in. That'll be good.
Bro, hilarious. Like, bro, I mean, the last thing we'll say on this show.
Real quick, since you mentioned being racist to Mexicans and people. I got called racist during the Devin Haney versus Lomachenko fight. I was called biased from both on Twitter. I was
like, amazing.
You just don't like black people. And then I was like, you just don't like him because he's Ukrainian. I'm like, what? I'm like, what?
That shows you everything.
That was like, I took that as the highest honor because it's like, oh, cool. I'm calling this down the middle because I'm getting equal hate from both sides. So obviously I'm calling this fight down the middle.
Okay, so Clarissa Shields also fought this weekend. Forgot to get to that. Sorry. It wasn't much of anything. Her opponent didn't land a punch to the third round. It was really, really bad. But then it turned out to be a pretty good fight later on. But Shields needs to just stop heavyweight, and there's no fights for her at heavyweight. No. But her opponent was legitimately on her bike for the first half of the fight. And Shakur Stevenson tweets, "What in the Tom and Jerry?" And I replied and said, bro, this is bad. Everyone assumed that I was talking because this was going on during the Zayas fight. So a bunch of people replied and was like, oh, like, yeah, Zayas is running. And then this absolute psychopath out of nowhere on Twitter, bad, the holding and running that Zayas is doing. I mean, keep that same energy for you others, like you insecure cowards do the brothers, double standards. And I said, bro, I'm talking about Shields' opponent. Shame on you. That's how online I am.
Dude, see, so I left Twitter. Apology. I left Twitter years ago for a reason. And now you're realizing. I think now you're getting to a certain level. You're like, you know what? Chris was right. So Twitter is a waste of time.
I don't think I needed people. I don't think I think I just need to post the show, post our videos, clips, and then get out.
It's way too engaging. It takes way too much energy to deal with the ignorance that's on there. I've been off it for years, so
I know. I've seen your tweets.
I'm never going back.
I'm taking bullets for you sometimes, because sometimes I'll post a clip of like something you say on this show. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I am defending your take on Twitter.
And I'm skipping around like nothing happened. Completely oblivious.
I don't tell you about them. Yeah,
you're just going through life.
Having a great time in South Florida. I'm on Twitter fighting your battles, bro.
What do you mean?
Like the Usyk one blew up. Like us, we like power ranked the best fighters of the last 10 years on the fly. Extremely tired, jet lagged. And I realized we put Canelo probably way too low. And it's got like 100,000 views on TikTok. It has a shit ton of views on Twitter. And it's like a half-baked experiment we did on the fly. And it's like people are taking our word at like crazy gossip. Like, how could you have Canelo fifth? He should be higher. But got to be careful what we say.
I don't even know what we're talking about. I mean, we do a lot of these.
we did the top, the best, the greatest fighters of the last 10 years.
Okay.
We literally did this 5 days ago. And we put Canelo like almost an afterthought. And people were pissed.
Yeah, well, I mean, good. It got engagement. But, isn't that what this is for?
Yes. But I was like, once again, we didn't plan that. It was a half bit. I was Monday morning after being in Vegas for God knows how long we were there.
Oh, that's why I don't remember it. I was on another planet.
Yeah, that Monday episode, I was autopilot.
Dude, I don't even remember doing that episode. I don't even know. that week after Vegas was an absolute blur.
Yeah, I was on the road for
11 days.
Yeah. I laid on my couch.
I had to get on a flight 3 days ago, and I was just like, I am not ready. Vegas was four days prior to this. I'm just like, I am not ready to get another plane. I'm not ready to pack my bags again. This is,
yeah. You had a hell of a July, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's whatever. It is what
non-stop, baby. That's August, how we operate.
August is going to be a little slow. So,
all right, good. You need to enjoy your life, and boxing will always be there. ESPN may be gone, but we'll always be here for you guys. We'll have a voicemail episode later on in the week.
Nice.
It's been a while since we did that, so we'll do that on Thursday. Have a good week, my friend. Anything else? Anything else?
I'm still in New York, man. Might be here for a little bit. I'm trying to figure out. Next move. I mean, it's New York summer.
Let's go. More steak reviews.
Yes. I'm going to go get some steak right now. I haven't had any steak yet in New York, so I'm going this afternoon.
It's 11:30 a.m.
Yeah, I'm going to have a breakfast steak. Like a breakfast steak.
There you go, my friend. All right, everybody. Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs unless you got a steakhouse you want us to review.